book of Job. If you have an outline, follow along, please. We're in Job chapter 24. One of the most prominent verses from the book of Job. Most of the familiar verses from the book of Job are found in the first two chapters. And one of those phrases I want to remind us of this morning comes from chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where Job's wife has encouraged him to turn his back on God, to curse God and just let God kill him. Her thoughts seem to be, and her mindset seem to be, if this is the way God treats his faithful servants, then why bother worshiping a God like that? And Job answered her with this familiar phrase. He says, "Woman, you speak as a foolish person." He says, "Should we not accept good from God and not accept evil or trouble as well?" That mindset that Job seemed to have at that moment, if you've been with us, and most of you have for the most part for the last two or three months as we went from chapter 2 now to chapter 24, that mindset that Job seemed to have when he asked his wife that question, Job seems to have lost. Job seems to be doubting his own discussion with his wife from ever how long ago that's been. A week, a few weeks, a few months, we don't know. But to remember Job's journey from that point to this. You know, if you've been here, the things Job has said, the responses he's had to his three friends, we've been covering that. I want you to remember also something about Satan. Remember the evil of this satanic being. Remember the limits that God placed on him. And I think that we can conclude that Satan has gone and instilled upon Job to the very limits that he can, and still left him alive. Still left him with his mouth, that he may speak, so that Satan may hear when he curses God, when Satan is victorious and has his way in Job's life. The last two or three weeks, you know that we have, as we've gone through the dialogue between Job's three friends and Job, a couple of weeks ago, on chapter 22, I used what I call the Matlock maneuver, where Eliphaz, in his final statement to Job, comes to Job. They can't get Job to confess to any sins that he's committed that would explain why all this tragedy has come upon him. So Eliphaz begins to speculate. Eliphaz begins to tell Job what he thinks Job has done. "Job, you've robbed the widows, you've done all these things." There's a long laundry list where Eliphaz, in just rapid-fire fashion, begins to accuse Job of saying, "This is what you've done, this is what you've done," and to no avail. Job does not admit to it. Job does not say, "Yes, you're right." Job does not confess. Last week, John's title of his message was, "Where is God?" And we saw in that chapter something that we've seen before, where it seems like Job flips back and forth between his doubts about God's justice and his confidence and his trust in the God that he always knew. And that was last week that Job's address, Job's answer to Eliphaz continues from last week through this week as well. Before we begin our passage, I want you to notice something as we go through here. And that is that the standard for morality that you will see from little bits of information that you will see in this chapter, and this isn't the first time this has happened either, you will see that the standard for morality across the ages has been consistently the same. The standard for what is right and what is wrong, the standard for ethical behavior has always been high. And you'll see evidence of that here in this chapter. We're not going to read the chapter at the beginning, but we'll read the verses as we come to the points. So let's begin. Job chapter 24, our first point is this. Job continues his questioning about where is God. You see in verse 1, Job says, "Why does the Almighty not set times for judgment? Why must those who know Him look in vain for such days?" Remember, Job is addressing Eliphaz. Job is talking to Eliphaz and answering Eliphaz's comments that he has made. And Job has asked last week, "Where is God?" And today he asks that question once more. Where is God? Why does God not set a date, you might say a court date? Why does God not set a time where He will set things right? I've been begging for God to set a time to come and to meet me and let me and hear my case. But there's been no answer. God has not answered me. Why do those people who trust in God, why do those people who love God look in vain for justice? So that thought continues. The second point, where is God when? And then there's a long list of questions that Job has for Eliphaz. And we're going to go through them, verses 2 to 12. And I'm going to preface a lot of these with those four words, where is God when? Because that is the idea that Job is quizzing Eliphaz about. Job says, "Eliphaz, I can look around me and I can see things. You see them as well as I see them." He says, "Eliphaz, where is God when boundaries are moved?" Proverbs has there is a proverb in the book of Proverbs similar to this. And this is an interesting thing. How serious do you think it is to move a surveying pin? Okay, that doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? You just pick up a stake, dig it out of the ground, so what? It's just an iron rod a couple feet long. Do you know that is a serious criminal offense? Why is that? Well, let's suppose here we are, let's suppose our neighbor here, Everett Allen, comes and finds this corner and pulls it up and moves it over this way 20 feet. Puts it back in the ground and says, "Here's the corner." What has Everett Allen done to this church? Stolen. He has stolen our property. So it's theft. What if some teenage kid just trying to be cute comes and pulls up a surveying pin and just hauls it off with him? What would you call that? Vandalism, at least. Vandalism, at least, because he has stolen something of value. We spent $1,200 or so getting this place surveyed. So if you move the markers, you have cost us at least $1,200. It's a serious offense now. It has always been a serious offense. Thousands of years before Christ, whenever Job lived, they recognized that as a serious offense. And Job quizzes Eliphaz and says, "Eliphaz, where is God when someone steals another person's land? Where's Eliphaz, where's God when there's a dispute over a survey marker because someone is trying to steal land from his neighbor? You've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. Where is God when that happens? Where is God when the man who has thousands of acres wants more and takes the little guy's place? He can do it because he has power. He can do it because he has influence. Where is God to see that justice is done? He goes on. Where is God when these men pasture your flocks they have stolen? Verse 3. Where is God when they drive away the orphan's donkey and take the widow's ox in pledge? Again, serious ethical offenses. Legally, perhaps not any more offensive legally than taking anyone's ox or donkey. But in God's eyes, when you mistreat an orphan or a widow, the Bible consistently tells us in Old Testament and New, God is offended. God rises up to their defense. Job says, where is he? I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen where someone takes advantage of a widow lady who doesn't know what's going on and cleans her out. Where is God when that happens? That's what Job is asking. Verse 4, where is God when they throw the needy people from the path and force all the poor of the land into hiding? Where is God when the poor are like wild donkeys, verse 5, in the desert? The poor go about their labor foraging for food that the wasteland provides. Where is God when the homeless are digging in the trash dumpsters because they have been mistreated, because they have been everything they have been taken from them? Where is God? Where is God when they gather fodder in the fields? Or where is God when the laborer reaps the harvest for the big farmer and yet he is starving to death himself? Where is God? Where is God when they are homeless, spending their days naked without clothes? They have nothing to cover themselves. Verse 8, they are drenched by mountain rains. They hug the rocks for shelter, lack of shelter. Where is God? Verse 9. When the fatherless child is snatched from his mother's breast? Where is God when the infant of the poor is seized for a debt? We don't know what it's like to have our children taken from us as payment for a debt. Our children being enslaved, becoming slaves of someone else because of a debt we incurred and could not pay. Job had seen that. Eliphaz had seen that. And Job asked him, where's God when that happens? Those kind of situations. Where is justice? Where is God's justice when all this takes place? Verse 10. Lacking clothes, they go about naked. They carry the sheaves, but still go hungry. Verse 11. Where is God when they crush olives among the terrace? They tread the wine presses. Yet they are thirsty themselves. They labor for the rich and tread out their wine presses in labor. Their wine flows from the wine presses, yet they are thirsty themselves. He closes this part in verse 12, says, where is God when the groans of the dying rise from the city? Where is God when the souls of the wounded cry out for help? Where is he? Where is he, Eliphaz? God is nowhere to be found, he says in the end of verse 12. God charges no one with wrongdoing. God brings no charges. God does nothing. These are serious comments that Job is making. Point number three, it's no mystery when men love darkness. Job says, I can tell you. Can God not find them? Can God not find these offensive people who have committed such atrocious deeds? I'll tell him where they're at. They're like a roach hiding under the baseboard. They're like a roach trying to find a dark place to hide. They love the darkness rather than the light, as the New Testament tells, because their deeds are evil. They hide in the darkness. They come out at night to do their evil deeds. They come out at night to commit their murders. They come out at night to steal. They come out at night to commit adultery because they say, no one can see me. We see in verses 13 through 17. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. Verse 14, when daylight is gone, the murderer rises up and kills the poor and needy. In the night he steals forth like a thief. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks no eye will see me, and he keeps his face concealed. In the dark men break into houses, but by day they shut themselves in. They want nothing to do with the light. For all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They make friends with the terrors of darkness. So Job is unloading on Eliphaz. Job says, Eliphaz, where is God when all of these injustices are committed? He's nowhere to be found. God does not see that justice is done. And if God can't find them, I can tell him where they're at. They're in the darkness, hiding, waiting for night that they might commit their deeds. And then in the beginning of verse 18, he addresses Eliphaz again specifically, and he reminds Eliphaz of things Eliphaz has said. He says in verse 18, Eliphaz, here's what you have said. Evil people, Eliphaz has said, are like foam on the surface of the water. I'm not sure what causes foam on water, but I've seen creeks run that have foam around the edge. I don't know if it's trash or if it's filth. I'm not sure what it is. But usually, it's short-lived. It's not there long, and a heavy rain or whatever, or it eventually just gets washed away. And that's the analogy that Eliphaz had been giving to Job, and Job reminds him. He says, Eliphaz, you said these wicked people that I just mentioned to you are like the foam on the water. They're here briefly and then they're gone. Verse 19, Eliphaz, you said that the evil men, their portion of the land is cursed. That's what you think. Eliphaz, you've seen these evil men. I've seen these evil men. I've seen all that they do. And you say that their portion is cursed. Eventually they're going to reap what they've sown. We've seen that over and over. You have said, Eliphaz, that no one will go to their vineyards. You have said in verse 19 that these evil men are just like the snow, that as soon as the day warms up, it melts. They are short-lived. You have said that the grave quickly snatches away all those who have sinned. Verse 20, Job says, Eliphaz, you have said that the womb forgets these people. Their posterity is limited. Their posterity is gone. It's non-existent. Their name is remembered no more. You have said, Eliphaz, that the worm feasts on them. When they die, the worm eats them up. And quickly. You have said that they prey on the barren and the childless woman, and to the widow show no kindness, but when they do, God drags them away. God, by His power, drags them away. And even though they may for a short time think that they have security and they're safe in what they're doing, they meet God. They meet a just God who lets them reap what they sow. For a little while, says in verse 24, they are exalted, and then they are gone. They are brought low and gathered up like all others. They're cut off like heads of grain. So Job reminds Eliphaz of Eliphaz's outlook on life. Whatever you sow, that's exactly what you reap. Eliphaz has seen evil. Job has seen evil. Eliphaz is telling Job that the reason men face retribution for their evil is because they have evil deeds in their life. And he's, of course, making the connection that this is what's wrong with Job. Job has seen the evil men. So has Eliphaz. Job reminds him, Eliphaz, you have said that their judgment is short-lived, but I don't see it. Where is this judgment? Where is justice? You know, I don't know what Job is, his physical posture is at this moment. I don't know if Job's physical body is in such a ravaged condition that he is laying in the ash heap. I don't know if he is standing up, pacing back and forth. I don't know if he's sitting in a chair. I don't know what he's doing. But as I read this, I can't help but feel that Job is getting worked up. That Job is angry. He's angry at God. He's angry at Eliphaz. He's angry at it all. He is angry that he hurts. He is angry at his boils. And it seems to me as I read this that I can see, and this is just my guess, you do with it what you want, I can see once again, maybe the last time, I don't know. But at least once more, Job is sufficiently agitated that the adrenaline begins to course through his veins. And if he is able to stand up, he stands and he gets in Eliphaz's face. And with the adrenaline putting the pressure on his veins, the veins begin to pop out in his neck or in his forehead. And with the added pressure, perhaps the scabs that had crusted over began to break loose because of the pressure in his blood vessels. And the pus that began to just lay on his body began to flow with the pushing of the pressure within him. As Job stands and turns to Eliphaz and says these things. He says, Eliphaz, where is God? Where is he? Where is God? When these men rob the widows, where is he? Where is God when the boundary markers are moved? Where is God when they push the people out of the way and take their belongings from them? Where is God? Where is God when the poor gather the crops and then are not allowed to eat? Where is he? Where is God? I don't see him. Can he not find these men? Can he not find the evil to correct the justice? I can show him where they're at. They're hiding in the darkness waiting for night so that they can come out like a roach and do their evil deeds. I can carry him to their house.
What's his problem? Eliphaz, you have said that judgment is short-lived. You have said that God is quick to bring judgment. Well, where is it? Where is God? Where is his judgment? It's not like the foam on the water, as you say. You say it's quick. You say it's sure. Well, I don't see it. Where is he? Where are you, God? I'm waiting. And it's silent. And in heaven, it's silent. If Satan has adrenaline, it's rushing too, because it seems that he has Job right on the edge of where he wants him. It seems that Satan has Job just at the point where Job is ready to curse God. The angels are silent, both fallen and elect, because they want to see exactly how this is going to play out. It looks as if Job is breaking. And God is silent. Job doesn't see this. We see it. God is not nervous. As I think of this, I can't condemn Job. Not because I think Job's dialogue is justified. I can't condemn him because I might find myself in his shoes. You can't condemn Job because someday you may face similar troubles. As I thought of this chapter, I thought of Job's comments. Tell you what I see. I see a God who forgives. I see a God who is gracious. I see a God whose ears are deaf to the ill-advised demands of his servant Job. I see a God who overlooks Job's weakness. I see a God who still has Job in his hands, even though Job doesn't know it. If it is possible, I see a God who is nearer to Job than he has ever been. I see a God who has not forgotten. A God who is sure. A God who is in control. A God who knows that the day will come when all these things will be made right. A God who strengthens Job, who will make him stronger than he ever has been. I see that. Job doesn't. Last week, in John's text, if our worship team would come, we're going to close with a song. Last week in John's text, there was a phrase that
I knew that I had heard a song before from this phrase. And I'm going to see if I can find it. Chapter 23, verse 10. It says, but he, Job talking about God, God knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. We see, as I said, Job flipping back and forth. And I knew that phrase sounded familiar. But I knew there was a song. I could not get it to come back. And last night, about 10:30, the tune of a phrase of it came to me. And I woke Susan up and asked her, what is this song? And she told me what it was and where it was at. And I found the book. And we're going to conclude the sermon with a verse of this song. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, help us not to just read this and think, oh, that's such a nice story. Aren't Bible stories nice? God, help us to be faithful to you. And when the testing comes, our testing will come. It may not be as severe as Job's. And God, we may not remember this story as well as we think we will when that day comes. The pain may be so great. The sorrow may be so deep that we're not interested looking at Job. God, hold us. Hold us in your hands. Keep us.